Hey, and welcome back to another exciting episode of Extra Features Interviews. Today we have Matt Torrey, this is his fourth time on the show, people. I can't get away. And he brought JJ Carroll back, so maybe he likes me too. Who knows? We're about to find out. Their new episodes of their show, Back to the Blockbusters, are available somewhere, but we'll get into it. I'm sure they'll tell us by the end of the show. Welcome back, boys.
Hey, how's it going? Thank you for having us.
I love having you guys. So let's start at the beginning. Why did you guys make a show about my show?
Well, I think, basically it's kind of like a parody of a talk show. We just wanted to try something new. We're always trying to think of a different challenge. Mm-hmm. So this was kind of this is not really a movie or a short per se. It's kind of hopefully when you watch it at first, you're like, oh, is this really going to be a discussion about this movie? But no, it just is not. So it's just kind of a different thing that we wanted to play with.
Mm-hmm. And we thought the idea was just like funny of, you know, a talk show host who says he's here to talk about movies and, you know, it really doesn't really get into that. It's more just his life problems.
Oh, 100%.
It's not really about the movies.
And before we even get even further, number two, how come I wasn't invited on this one? I think I would have fit in perfectly.
We'll have you on season two if we do season two.
Well, that's nice to know. Thank you. So
we got a bigger budget then. We can fly people out.
That's great to hear. So let's start at the beginning. So where did this concept come from?
So we filmed this a while ago, actually. We filmed this last year. It's just taken a while to put it together and put it out. But basically, like I was saying, we were just thinking of, hey, what's something new we can do? What's a different kind of thing we can try to tackle? And I had been thinking it'd be fun. For a while, I'd had this idea of, wouldn't it be funny if this kind of young guy maybe just ran a talk show from his house or something, maybe just put up a curtain and brought in a chair and invited random people over, and it kind of just devolved into chaos every time or whatever. So that was kind of the genesis of it. But then we added the movie element because, you know, it's something that he could say, oh, everyone loves movies. We'll talk about movies. Maybe I'll get in some celebrities or something that way. But really, he doesn't really care about the movies or the guests or anything. He just cares about himself getting a platform, hopefully to become a celebrity or something, you know?
Yeah. And when we wrapped Beach Boys and we were getting ready to do more of that, we're like, hey, well, let's push ourselves to try and make a project in between each season. So we have, you know, as much content as we can. And that's all about, you know, we're just constantly, like Matt said, we're just constantly trying to push ourselves and to just keep creating.
So how do you find pushing yourselves? Do you guys ever suffer burnout then if you're pushing yourself so hard into doing, thinking of new things, discussing new topics, raising money for your projects? I mean, it's all about that for you guys. I mean, you guys are very small, independent. You guys, once you're done one project, that's great. You spent your money. You got to raise money your next project. So how do you get there?
Yeah. I mean, I think the burnout doesn't really come that much, I think, just because we love what we're doing. I mean, I think for me, the biggest burnout piece is constantly, you know, just trying to get money. But I mean, we've just done so much stuff on such small budgets that I think we're just kind of used to it, just trying to be resourceful with what we have and calling in favors. I think the burnout's probably more with Matt because he takes on the editing.
The editing's the worst part. I do get burned out with that, but I try to take my time with it so it doesn't burn me out too much.
So let's go with the editing process. Why do you hate editing so much? Because I do too.
I mean, I won't say that I don't enjoy it at all, but just editing is not my passion at all. It's not the part of filmmaking that I enjoy. Yeah, I enjoy the creating, the developing, the directing, you know, having it come to life in front of you and coming up with the ideas. I do enjoy the process of editing, of putting things together and seeing how it plays out. But 90% of that editing is just all the logistical, technical, oh, let's fix audio, let's fix coloring. It's like, I just hate it. But I do it because it has to be done, right? So it's just part of it.
I have to agree with everything you said. So I'm now just giving my editing to somebody else for the most part. I do some of it, but not as much.
I enjoy about the first 10% when you start seeing everything come together on the timeline, and the last 10% when it's done. But in between there, it's just horrible.
So let's start the set design.
Yes.
I mean, I like the concept. It's in his uncle's warehouse, I think it is.
Yeah.
So where did you steal somebody's warehouse, or did you borrow this? Because it works perfectly.
So one thing that's pretty great, I work at a church, and I asked my boss, I was like, we've got this giant, that giant warehouse is just, just a bunch of storage. And I just asked my boss one day, I was like, hey, can we film something in the warehouse? And he's like, yeah, just make sure you clean it up. And, we do this series at our church called At the Movies. And so we had a bunch of the like cardboard cutouts and everything. And so it was perfect. I was like, oh, sweet. We've got all these in the corner. So let's put these around and got these pallet walls. So, I mean, we just literally looked around the warehouse for things that we could find. And then, Matt made the poster and we just printed out some of those and some other random little prop pieces. And we were like, oh, great. This kind of works.
Alba, your church does something called At the Movies?
Yes. So it's, it's a lot of churches are starting to do it. It's kind of like, essentially you take a movie and, the pastor picks a theme and they kind of like go through the movie and like show clips and talk about how it can relate to, biblical principles.
So are you going to be showing intolerance at any time coming up?
That's a great question.
So Matt, when you're writing this, did you know you had a warehouse ahead of time and stand-ups and everything? So you had some idea or no?
Well, we didn't know what the set was going to look like at all. We knew we were going to do it in this warehouse, but actually, I mean, this was a pretty quick project. Basically, if I remember right, we had just put out Beach Boys season one, and then we were like, hey, let's do something else. And so I think it was like a 2-week process. It was like 2 weeks from when we started writing it to when we filmed it. Mm-hmm. So we wrote all these and then got everyone together, planned for it and everything. It was probably like 2 weeks. So we basically one day we just went to the warehouse and we built the set. We got stuff together. We did everything. And then the next day we filmed it. So we filmed them all in one day.
Okay. I want to discuss why you're writing this. You made him not like Godfather?
Well, it's more that he doesn't know any movies pretty much. He's just oblivious to
what?
He just knows in the pop culture, Godfather's considered this great movie. It's very obvious he has not seen it.
Well, I don't think he watched any movies.
I don't think so, yeah.
I think he's way too busy.
Yeah.
I don't know what he does outside of this. Obviously his co-host does all the work.
I mean, yeah. He's an influencer, so he's the face, So he's got to shake hands, kiss babies,
Well, that's so about it.
Trying
okay.
to get the follower count up,
So we're on the first episode. Let's discuss Bill Smith. He actually is a real actor.
So his name is not Bill Smith, but yeah, it's one of our friends who's been in some other stuff that we've done, but yeah, the idea was, hey, let's get just some guy who was an extra in The Godfather Part 3, who the scene was even cut. He's not really in it, but like that's the biggest person they could get to interview about the movie.
So I want to pick up on that note. Did you try to get real celebrities of any kind, or even like F-less celebrities? Did you even reach out to someone?
No. The idea of this was who are like the lowest level people that he could be on he could get on this show. Like the point is that like these people don't really have anything to do with these movies that he's talking about, even though he presents it that way.
And they all live in the Bakersfield area.
Or with Bill Smith, they flew him in. That was the only person he flew in, yeah.
So I should have been on this show. This tells me more and more that I should have been there for filming the day. Now, number two is, I've checked my mailbox quite often. I don't have a Blockbuster cup.
We made those.
Yeah, I know. And I thought you'd be nice to send your favorite podcaster one.
It's actually not even on the mug. It's just a white mug with the Beyond the Blockbusters logo printed on a piece of paper taped on.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought they were real mugs because I was really upset.
It looked convincing, though.
It looked good.
Who knows? Maybe in the future.
Oh, maybe. All these things in the future. I don't know.
Yeah.
Now, you guys discuss those things as a recent classic.
As Shawshank Redemption?
I'm going to discuss films in general. Since the host, co-host is so a recent classic, how recent is a film to be a classic? Don't we have to have like 10 years maybe?
Well, I think to someone like Jeffrey, who's like a film historian, very pompous, you know, considers himself this person who knows classic films. To him, like, you know, classic movies are like 30s, 40s, 50s. So anything since then probably is like a recent classic.
Now we have to discuss the Beach Boy wardrobe on The Music Guy. Did you guys run out of clothes?
That's a little Easter egg, yeah. Mm-hmm. That's my roommate, Robert. He plays the piano, so he came in and did that. He wasn't actually even going to – the plan was I said, hey, just pretend you're playing something and then I'll add something in later. But he kind of just came up with that theme song while we were filming that day, and it worked perfectly, so it was really good. But, yeah, that shirt is an Easter egg for anyone who catches it.
And we got that song stuck in our head for weeks. So,
Sure you did, because it's pretty catchy. I like it.
And that's one of the number one things people say, is that theme song gets stuck in my head.
Now, Shawshank Redemption on the show does not get a perfect score.
Yeah.
Do you guys want hate mail?
The prisoners weren't pooping in front of each other, so it wasn't realistic.
Is that what we look forward to? Like, I can't see the co-host not wanting Shawshank to think. I know, my host doesn't watch any movies. I got that. I got that by episode two. He just doesn't care.
Yeah.
I mean, Scorpion came in with the real-life depiction of what prison's like. And
yeah, that was it. Scorpion did it all over. Now, who is Scorpion? Another friend?
No. We found him on, what was it, Backstage or Actors Access, one of the two?
Backstage, yeah. He was just a guy who, he's wanted to start acting, so I think he hadn't even really been in anything, but he was great.
So when you guys create these things, do you know how many episodes you're going to do? Obviously, write for 6 episodes, or are you thinking 10 episodes?
This one, yeah, we had 6 episodes because this was something we said, hey, let's try it. What can we do in one day? So we came up with 6 episodes, and the 6 episodes were kind of based on the guests. So those were kind of the ideas of what are these 6 kind of stupid guests that he can have. He can have, like, someone he couldn't get a guest, so he invites the pizza delivery guy in to talk about the movie. He invites some girl he has a crush on, you know, that kind of thing.
Oh, we're going to get to that. Don't worry. I have it all written down. We're getting there.
Yeah.
So did the Chewie and the Oscar statue come from the church's props, or did you guys bring those in?
No, those are props from my house, actually. I just grabbed some stuff to put around the set, you know. We wanted it to look – it doesn't make sense, but it's there.
Oh, no, it made sense to me. Totally made sense to me that this was somebody's backyard kind of shooting thing.
Yeah.
Also, I want to go on. The rabbit chocolates, was that written in later, or was that always going to be in the script?
The chocolates that he gives her?
Yes, the rabbit chocolates. I did write it down because that's what you guys named them.
That was in there because, you know, Forrest Gump, the box of chocolates, that's just kind of a thing that he could try to win her over, but he's obviously not doing well at that.
No, I think he does a great job. I like that. That was probably my favorite episode, is the random girl. Like, he's going to hit on her the whole episode.
Yeah, I think it's my favorite one, too. I just love the awkwardness.
I did. Now, how long did you work on saying Jenny to this woman? Did you practice this daily?
I feel like it just started, and we just, like, randomly did it, and then just kept on going with it.
You did the impression, and then I remember in between a take, you were like, I should just say it that way every time that I say her name. And we're like, yeah, do it.
So I guess my question is, who's the girl? And you got another one of the people you found on Backstage, or is she just a friend, or?
She's a friend of ours. So she, her name's Bronte. She's great. We were on an improv team together in college. And then, she's been in a few of our projects.
So let's go back. You discussed college and improv, and you guys seem to do a lot of improv in every short. I know you have a script, but how much improv do you guys actually put into these?
I would say probably when you watch something, it's probably like 20% improv. I like usually how what I like to do just as the director, I like to say, hey, let's do at least one take exactly what the script says. Let's get it down and then let's have fun with it. Then you can mess with it, add things if you want. But I would say probably in the final cuts, usually it's probably like 20-25% improv stuff that wasn't in the script.
Mm-hmm. And then there's sometimes when we'll go on as long as Matt will let us. I mean, there's like been like 25 minute takes where, you know, we're just going back and forth and, you know, just seeing where the wind blows us.
Like at the end of episode 5, where the pizza delivery guy is talking to the piano player Kirk, that went on for like 20 minutes. I feel like that just the two of them talking back and forth about the Wizard of Oz and drugs and stuff.
So, do you feel becoming with an improv background and Matt coming from a director background? Do you find that meshes really well for you too when you cooperate?
Yeah, I think so. And I think we spend a lot of time, outlining and talking through a lot of stuff. And so, I mean, we know, and I feel like we have very similar, like tastes in comedy and what we think is funny, but also, I mean, some differing things. And so, I mean, I think we complement each other really well with that. And then, you know, it's just, some of the improv is like lines that, you know, we just spouted off in the writer's room that didn't make it to the final script. And then sometimes that ends up making it in the script or in the final cut. I think we work really well together with that.
One of my favorite things is when we're filming something, usually we'll kind of just like when the cameras get ready and stuff, I'll just have the actors kind of run through it. And at that point, a lot of time JJ and others will kind of throw in lines here and there, and then I kind of listen, oh, I like that, do that, or you know, that kind of thing. That's kind of just some stuff just comes out of a few minutes before we film it. Mm-hmm.
So JJ, Matt's done a lot of stuff over the years. Mm-hmm. Feature films, short film, films with his mom. Do you think he's come along further as a director and every time you work with him, or he's still got the same relaxing he did from years ago?
He's got the same demeanor, but I think Matt gets better every time. I mean, I've always thought he's great. He's a really great director to work with because it's fun as an actor to be able to have a director that trusts you to just kind of do your thing and trusts you to like, yeah, you want to say that wild, you've got a wild idea, go for it. And he's very collaborative, but he's also got a very strong vision. And I mean, there's so many things like he's got such a great vision from the get-go. And as we're filming things, I'm like, I don't know how this is going to cut together. I don't know how this is going to work. And then I see it in the end. I'm like, oh, wow, that's great. That's why you're the director and I'm not.
So, Matt, since you've done two projects now with JJ and your buddies aren't actors anymore and I miss them, when are they coming to meet JJ and when are you guys going to do a big new thing with the film? Like, I think they could fit into this project, or they could fit into Beach Boys.
Oh, I would love to have some of those guys in it. Just I don't live near them, really, and they kind of are doing their own thing with their own lives. But I've talked to them about let's trying to do something again sometime. But when it comes to, like, JJ, so we did the first season of Beach Boys. We have filmed two more seasons of Beach Boys right now. They're going to come out this year and next year. But the idea with that is we wanted to try to up it a little bit, make it a little bigger production, put a little bit more money into it, make the episodes a little longer, that kind of thing. And then, so that's kind of going to be our focus in the short term, editing that and getting it out there. But we've got all kinds of stuff that we've got a couple of movie scripts that we sold one, and but who knows if that's going to happen, you know. We want to make a movie after this, so we'll see. I mean, we're kind of in the place where we're just trying to make stuff and try new things and hopefully people like it.
Okay. Since you didn't answer my question earlier and you just brought it up again, I'm going to remember it. How do you raise your capital? So now you're saying Beach Bum season one's done. Back to the Blockbuster season's done. Let's say we're going to do season two of Back to the Blockbuster. How are you going to up your budget and where's that money going to come from?
Good question. I don't know. I mean, if people like it and want to see it, we'll do more Beyond the Blockbusters. We don't have a plan for it right now, but it would be fun to maybe do more. I don't know. Cause we've been focused so much on Beach Boys. This was kind of just a one-off thing, but that was what we said about Beach Boys originally too, is that was just going to be its own thing, but people loved it. So we're doing more of it, but, we'll see. I don't know. I mean, he's gone to Idaho now at the end of the spoiler alert. He's gone to Idaho. So I don't know. Will it take place in Idaho? We'll see.
Yeah. And when it comes to, raising money too, like, I mean, a lot of our stuff, it's like, we're just kind of putting our own money into it. I mean, we've got Matt, myself, and then, you know, we've got a producer friend, and the three of us kind of come together and say, hey, how much are we willing to put into this? And then also too, like we'll take, you know, stuff, money that we made on, you know, premieres or, you know, when people, you know, purchase the whole season of Beach Boys or the whole season of Beyond the Blockbusters on our website, you know, people have been really generous and like there's a, you know, have been given more than the amount. And so, I mean, it's been really cool to kind of see kind of some friends and family kind of get behind us and not in a way of, all right, here you go. I mean, they're actually very excited. They're like, oh my goodness, I really enjoyed this show and I hope that you make more. And so it's been really, really encouraging, to do that. And so, yeah, we're just constantly trying to do the smallest budget we can, but also, enough money to make it what it needs to be.
So let's move on to episode four. Don't worry, I haven't got to. I just like ask you guys random questions to split it up.
Oh, no, I love it.
Holes. Nobody ever discusses holes. Now, that one, when you guys brought it up, I was like, jaw dropped. I'm like, good work, Tari, because I know this is your creation. This is a total Tari film.
That was why, because no one's going to consider that a classic movie. We were like, let's throw in one that, like, it's just some kind of random, like, it's not a bad movie, but it's just like a random movie people have probably forgotten about.
Mm-hmm. I was shocked, man. I mean, you blew me away bringing up Holes. I got to give you guys full credit. And I knew the host had not seen Holes because he didn't watch Godfather.
Yeah.
So is this when you guys start deciding there should be a feud between these two? Because obviously they hate each other.
Well, I think just from the beginning, the idea was that he should have kind of a co-host that he doesn't want to be there. It's kind of like if we're saying that his dad is funding the show and gave him the money, his dad was like, hey, you need to have someone on here who actually knows what they're talking about when it comes to movies. And so very reluctantly, he's got this kid from the film critic from his college's magazine to help him. But I think just over the episodes, his jealousy of, why does this guy have to do this show with me, escalates until, you know, this episode where they finally have to have a conversation together.
Now, I was thinking that maybe this should have been on a little bit further. Sorry. It should have gone on a little bit further. Maybe even a fist fight between the two. Not that you guys would have had a fight. I thought maybe the keyboard would get involved. Was any of that ever shot or anything? Or was it all just going to be a straightforward verbal fight?
I think it was always a verbal fight. Because we we're getting into spoilers, but we did want them to kind of reconcile again at the end, so.
I wasn't going to bring it up. Okay, let's move along to episode five then. Where is Matt Tory for all of episode five? He's not explained
other than he's quit.
I'm
behind the camera.
Now, was that always planned? You weren't going to be on any of episode five?
Yeah. The idea was that you think that he's gone. So the host Chase is kind of like, what am I going to do for a guest? So he orders pizza and has the pizza delivery guy come in and talk about the movie.
And I think one of my favorite things about that one too is, I mean, there's kind of some subtlety if you rewatch kind of the beginning where the movie quotes are happening, you know, just like the misspellings of the films or like the, you know, saying a wrong word just because Jeffrey's the one who usually did that. And so now it's all Chase and, you know, you see just the quality the quality dip in in the show.
Okay, Matt, don't take this the wrong way, but this is my favorite episode.
Oh, okay, that's fine.
The pizza
that's
guy.
I mean, that's a good. I'll take it as a compliment because I was full time behind the camera directing.
I want the pizza guy to come back in season two. He is absolutely my favorite character.
My favorite too.
Now, you guys order a pizza, and he sits down and opens the pizza box.
Yeah.
There's Jube Jubes in the pizza box. I'm going to call you out right now. So who ate the pizza?
There was no pizza, just an empty pizza box.
So there was never any pizza?
There's never a pizza, no. Just a prop.
So there's always supposed to be Jube Jubes in the box?
I forget. I think originally we were going to have him do something else, right, JJ?
Yeah, I think so. And then we had in our craft services, in our amazing craft service table, we had a whole bunch of fruit snacks. And so we were like, what if we put these in the box? And Josh, the actor, were like, what if you just eat these? And, you know, you're just constantly talking about how you threw it on. And so, I mean, that was kind of all an improv. And then poor Josh, he just kept eating them. And he felt so sick.
Yeah. I think he ate like 10 or 12 bags of fruit snacks.
Yeah, I think we mapped it out, and there was like 1,200 calories of fruit snacks and like some crazy amount of like grams of sugar.
I think my favorite part, you must know in the editing, is when he opens the box and it's full. You can tell it's full. And as the episode goes on, you see less and less, and then he goes, there's none left. I was killing myself.
Yeah.
So, no, I thought that was really good. I don't know if you guys planned for jokes then, but it did work for me on that level. Great. Now, on episode 6, where does the title Beyond the Blockbuster come from?
That was just, I think we just were trying to think of something that doesn't really make sense. So, if he's given a title to this show, it's kind of like, what does Beyond the Blockbuster cinema classic at the movies even mean? It's just kind of a bunch of nonsense words about movies put together, you know?
That's the way I took it.
So yeah, it's like, yeah, some people won't question it. Oh, wow, that sounds good. That sounds like a really knowledgeable show.
But I was watching this show, and I mean, because I live in Canada, maybe we have lesser problems. It seemed like a really good cable access show, and I would never miss an episode.
Yeah, well, that's good.
That's good.
Now, you guys do put Star Wars and Star Trek in the same sentence.
Uh-huh.
Again, are you waiting for some hate mail?
Well, if you notice a bunch of the episodes, there's clips from different movies if you catch it.
There is. I was getting that.
Yeah.
That was coming up.
Yeah.
And you gave Star Wars a 6 out of 6 for the franchise? We're going to have a war right now over that.
Hey, your war is with Jeffrey, not me.
So I guess my question is, where did you steal the clips from? I mean, did you steal them from Paramount, or you just put them up and give them credit at the end?
The clips of the movies.
Yes,
you have those are just from you know, from streaming.
So you don't have to have copyright access for that.
Well, technically, if it's a commentary or criticism of a movie, you don't have to.
Look at the things I'm
doing. So like when you watch like a movie critic online, and they'll like when the news shows, oh, this movie's coming out and this is what we thought about it, they'll have clips of the movie. You're allowed to do that if they're commenting on the movie.
I had no idea.
If it's for educational or commentary purposes.
So because I always have to ask you guys, what was on the craft service table this time? Because in Beach Boys, I can see it. In this one, there's no food to be found. There's some fruit snacks.
Fruit snacks, granola bars,
and Chick-fil-A,
nice. And then a bunch of root beer.
I'm coming. Just sign me up. I will be there. I'll eat any of that.
And then we got pizza at the end.
Oh, that was. Oh, you actually did get
pizza.
That's
right. Yeah, yeah. We went to pizza.
So, as you guys know, I always create fun questions for the end of this episode and special ones for Mr. Tory because he's been on so many times. So you guys ready?
We're ready.
One film that you always recommend to people because they've never seen it.
Ooh.
And I know holes is not allowed to come up.
So a movie that most people hadn't seen, huh?
Because you're the movie guys. They're going to ask you these questions every day you go to a party. Oh, you like movies? Well, tell me something I haven't seen.
I don't know. Go ahead.
I think for me, it's between two. One of them is The Kings of Summer.
And then
the other is The Way, Way Back.
I've seen The Way, Way Back, but The Kings of Summer I've never seen.
Yeah, Kings of Summer is great. It's like another coming of age story. Those are just kind of some of my favorite. I mean, The Way, Way Back is in my top five. I love that movie, and just the backdrop of the water park, and just like the kid and his stepdad just being just a total jerk, and just one of my favorites. So good.
So this is funny because I had two in mind too, and one of them was The Way, Way Back.
Oh, hey. There you go.
I love it. And then the other one, I would say, I don't know if it's like it's I don't know if I'd put it in my top 10 or whatever, but it's a great movie that like no one ever has heard of when I talk about it. It's a movie called Ruby Sparks.
That's a great film.
Oh yeah, and it's by the same directors who did Little Miss Sunshine, but it's a great movie. If you haven't watched it, it's about a writer who basically writes his dream woman into existence, and then he realizes that's not what he wanted, really.
Okay, question number two. One film you haven't seen but should have.
There's a bunch. I've been watching a bunch this week, actually, because I'm trying to watch all these classic movies I haven't seen. I watched Top Gun and The Goonies this week that I had never seen.
Wow.
I'm the same. I've got a poster in my room, and it's one of those craft off posters, and it's 100 movies that you got to see. And so, I mean, I just saw The Matrix for the first time.
God, you guys
Groundhog
are
Day.
Oh, so young.
It's funny is the one of my next ones is The Godfather.
So he really hasn't seen it. Yeah.
He really hasn't.
Doing that episode, I was like, okay, this actually works because I actually haven't seen The Godfather. I own it. It's on my list. It's in a pile to watch, but I just haven't gotten to it yet.
I'm going to change. I think, did you ask me this before? Because I might have said this. Because I think my answer would be Gone with the Wind.
Probably, but I couldn't remember.
And
so.
I have no intention of watching it.
I've seen it, so you're not missing
it. It's one of those movies where it's like, oh, you have to see it. But like, there's been opportunities where I could have seen it, and it's like, I'm not interested in the least.
I'm kind of the same way.
It's 4 hours. It's long.
Yeah.
Okay. Who are you thanking in your Oscar speech?
Got to thank my parents. Got to thank. Well, it depends what the project is. I mean, who I made it with, you know.
For me, family and then friends. I mean, I'd say all the crew from everybody that I've worked on, projects with in the early years.
Yeah.
Okay. Beach Boys.
And Simon Watson.
Yeah, don't forget me because I'll be upset. You guys will be long forgotten about me by then. Beach Boys is on Amazon?
It's on Amazon Prime, yeah. And it's also on a thing called Sika TV.
Okay. And Back to the Blockbusters available?
Beyond the Blockbusters. It's on YouTube. It's on our YouTube channel.
So it's free?
It's free.
Excellent.
And also all these things are on our website, goodcleanfuntv.com.
Thank you guys as always. It's been a blast.
Yeah, thank you for having
us. Thank you, Simon.
Have a great day. Bye-bye.
All right, have a good one.
Bye.
Hey, I just want to say thank you for listening to this great interview. We have more on our website at www.extrafeatures.ca. And if you enjoyed it, can you please go to iTunes and leave us an iTunes review and like us on our Facebook page. Thank you.